This week's parasha in Nostra mentions the mitzvah deraisa Birkas Kohanim. Now, after Birkas Kohanim, do you say a tefillah, short tefillah? It's printed, it comes from the Gemara. And it's passed in the Shulchan Aruch that the Kohanim say, they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they say, we have done what you have decreed upon us, Asher Gozarta Oleinu. So now, could you please bench Klal Yisrael? They mention the Pasuk, look down from heaven and bless them, which if you look is in Parshat Kislevoy after the whole Biyomaisus and Bikurim, and Rashi there says the same Lashon, Ostinu Mashe Gozarta Oleinu, we've done what you decreed upon us, so now Aseato Mashe Olecho Lasos, could you please now do what you promised, deal with God. So the word Gezeiro, it's a little bit strange. You say this word every day of your life from Moshe Zelig. We have done what you have decreed upon us. Decreed? Why can't we just say, we have done the mitzvah, Birkas Kohanim. What's this? Gezeirah. Iron rule, decree. Chayra, the Lashon you would have expected is, we have done the mitzvah that you've commanded us, or you've told us to do. What was this word? Gezeirah. So somebody recently gave me a sefer, which is written by one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliashiv, who himself is a Kohen, and it's an entire sefer on Birkas Kohanim. All different conversations and shailas that he had with Rabbi Eliashiv concerning Kohanim. So in his introduction, there's the most beautiful, beautiful introduction, and he writes this and he asks this question. So he says that he'd like to explain as follows. In Parashas Chukas it says, Zois Chukas HaTorah. So we all know, what's a chayk? A chayk is something that's a statute. We don't really understand the reason, for Aduma being the classic example. That's what it says, Zois Chukas HaTorah. So the Targum there says, Do, which is this, Gezeiras Oiraisa. Oiraisa we know is the Torah, the Oiraisa. Gezeira. That means the Targum says that the word Chukah and Gezeira is the same thing. Gezeira is the word, decree, for something we don't really understand the reason. So he explains that very, very beautifully. He says, how can it be that there's a mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim? Any Kohen makes no difference whatsoever of his age, or stature, or knowledge, or religious leanings. And he's got to give a bracha to any Jew in the world. You can have a Jew who's 1,000 times greater, Talmud Chacham, more senior, more prominent, more wise, more righteous, more everything. And yet the Torah says, no. He's got to give, the Kohen's got to give him a bracha. Does that make sense? The Chayra makes sense that the Kohen should give a bracha to those who are less worthy than them, less, those who are less righteous. So he suggests that's the concept of a gezeira. It's a gezeira. Meaning it doesn't really make sense that we should have to give a bracha to the masses, because who says the Kohen is necessarily more righteous than others? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's what we should do. And the same is with Bikurim. What's Bikurim? You're going to give a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Here's my pomegranate. Doesn't really make sense. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us to do it. So that's why it says in both of those places the Kohenim say, Osinu Mashe Gozarta Oleinu. We have done what you decreed upon us. Why is it called a decree? Because essentially it's not really that rational to give a gift to God or to bench people who are perhaps less righteous than us. But at the end of the day, this is the decree, Asinu Mashe Gozarta Oleinu. So he explains very beautifully there, and then he has a beautiful story at the end. Says, imagine, sometimes you see this, you know, your kid gets a candy from somebody, and you say to your kid, did you say thank you? He said, no, I can't say thank you. So he goes up to say, yeah, my daddy said I should say thank you. Well, what type of hidoah is that? Hidoah has to be heartfelt. And yet, we say that l'chayra every day in benching. Why? We say, alakoy, l'shem l'kein, anachu moidim loch, umubarachim moizloch, why? Kakasov, alchaltav, asavavtav, erachtav. We want to thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? As you said that we should thank you. It doesn't sound very heartfelt or genuine. I want to thank you because I want to thank you, not because because it says no Torah, Rochalta Masalotu Verachta. But the answer is no. It's not possible to thank Hashem. Nonsensical. Like we say in Nishmas every week, Ilu, Filu, Male, Shiro, Kayom, Ulushenein, Arena, Kasid, etc., etc. Eina Nachnu Maspikim. Lahoida Islacha. It's impossible to thank Hashem. In fact, it's even a chutzpah to thank Hashem. Well, thank you, Hashem, for life. So, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's really a bit of a chutzpah and it's an impossible task to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the end of the day, you told us to do it. So, just be Mekayim Yom Gzeir. That's what he writes there. So, he writes there, he just describes very beautifully, and this is why it's his introduction to his sefer on Birkas Koinin. He says, that was the feeling that he had every day when he davened in Rabbi Yashiv's minyan, and he was the Koin. He says, here is the God Ladder. The people are queuing up day and night to get his bracha, and here I am giving Rabbi Yashiv a bracha. He says, I felt so ridiculous, but Masha Gozara Toleno, that was the Gzeira. He said more than that. He says that there is a halacha, it's a whole big discussion, but some of Machpis, that they should stand in front of the Kohenim for Birkas Kohenim. Some people are very Machpis. I think Michael Goffman's Machpis in the Grove. You should stand directly, in, as it were, in the line of fire, right in front of the Kohenim. So he said, Rabbi Yashiv always, in the vineyard that he davened, always used to exert himself and move and stand in front of the Kohenim. Now he said on one occasion, there are a few Kohenim, including this author, his name is Rabbi Cook, and his young son did Birkas Kohenim as well. Now there's a discussion where the boys under Bar Mitzvah do Birkas Kohenim. What did your kids do? They didn't do it. Chutz Laaretz is not generally done, but in Eretz Yisrael some Kohenim, I mean, even before Bar Mitzvah, they do Birkas Kohenim. So he said it was the most phenomenal thing to see. Rabbi Yashiv, there was a few Kohenim, so this Rabbi Cook's son took his place in the front of the Kohenim. So he says, Rabbi Yashiv is almost the end of his life. He's very, very weak, well over 100. And he managed to drag himself from his seat. He could hardly walk. And he stood in front of the Kohenim. And all of a sudden, at the side of his, he noticed the side of his eye that this young kid had taken his place, which meant that Rabbi Yashiv was no longer in front of the Kohenim, because this young kid had stood in front of the Kohenim, and he was next, so Rabbi Yashiv pulled himself back a couple of steps, he should be in front of this kid as well. Then it hit me, even more. Rabbi Yashiv, at the age of 100 and something, God Ladoi, Poisek Adoi, queuing up his brachas, took a few more steps in front of my 10-year-old boy. Why? Birkas Kohenim. So that's what it means, Masha Gazar to Oleinu. You told us to do it, that's what we have to do, but it's a phenomenal thing. But you can check this stuff. I wanted to actually phone him. That Rabbi List, Rabbi Dov Berlif, I think he once told me that there was a, you know, he has a yeshiva for Bochum who was struggling somewhat. So he had a Bochum in his yeshiva. He needed a bit of a chizuk. He's going through a bit of a rough patch. So Rabbi Liv told him, he says, you know what, I'm going to rent a car, we're going to wake up early one morning, we're going to go to Yerushalayim, and we're going to daven by Rabbi Yashiv. We'll try and get you in, and maybe we'll get a bracha from him as well. Big, very exciting project for the morning. So they got up early, I don't know, 5:30 in the morning, and they hired a car, and they drove to Rabbi Yashiv's minyan there in Yerushalayim. Now, when they got there, for whatever reason, that day in the base of Medrash, in the Rosh Hashanah, there was no Kohenim. But his bracha was a Kohen. So that day they had Birkas Kohenim in Rabbi Yashiv Shul because of his bracha. And his bracha was zeichah to give Rabbi Yashiv a bracha. So you came, you slept from Yerushalayim, from Beit Shemesh, crack of the dawn, in order to get a bracha from Rabbi Yashiv. You ended up being a kind of mitzvah deraisa. You gave the God Ladoi a bracha. He was mechuyah to listen, and you were mechuyah to give him a bracha, and that was the greatest chizuk of all. So again, does it make sense or not? Masha gazar to oleinu. So all the brachas of the kohenim should be must be miskayim. And if I just may make a mention of a cholam, and Rav Yehuda Mordechai ben Frumitz, who I just spoke to a few minutes ago, Dr. Bonshek, his name is in Yerushalayim. Even if you haven't heard of, but you have, because whenever we say the phrase "What's bothering Rashi," we're quoting his book. he's got a series of books called
What's Bothering Russia?
What's Bothering Russia? And his son davens in our shul, and they're kohenim. And he himself is very unwell, so just took him a few minutes. He goes to Mr. Hashem, Yishev Refuah Shleima, Mordechai Avigdor Ben Frumet. Okay, let's continue the Gemara Mitzvah Hashem
Ben
Frumet. Right, so we wanted to continue on the Gemara Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph until the next two dots, and then Be'ez Hashem we'll go back a little bit to do Chazar from the beginning of the Perek, which is always a worthwhile thing. We're on the fourth wide line, Kairi. What's Kairi? Which we began last time. It's the soft branch of a lulav tree, of a dekel, palm tree. As Rashi explained, that what happens is, in the beginning, when the branches initially grow, they're soft. And eventually they harden and become more branch-like, more tree-like. But initially they're not tree-like, they're more plant-like, they're soft. So kairei, as Rashi explains, is the word used for the soft version of the branch, in other words, when it initially grows. Rav Yehuda Aimer Boire Priyo Adama. Veshmuel Omar, no, Shakel Nir Bidvare, which I can see a little chest next to those words, and I look in the margin, I see that's the halacha. So we pass from Shakel Nir Bidvare. But either way, Rabbi Yehuda Omar, Bore Priyad Omar, because Peira here, at the end of the day, grows from this tree, says Bore Priyad Omar. Why it's not Bore Priho 8, I guess we'll have to work out. But it's Bore Priyad Omar. Shmuel Omar, that no, Shakel mi bedvare, why? Hoyil v'stoifoi lahakshois. What does that mean, stoifoi lahakshois?
At the end of the day, it's going to become hard.
At the end of the day, it's going to become hard. If not this year, as Rashi says, in the second year. So it's destined to become hard, at which stage it will no longer be considered a pre. And if it's no longer considered a pre, it doesn't make sense to say Borei Pri Adom. In other words, Shmuel is telling us a big chiddush that even though at the moment it may well be a pre, but because it's going to end up not being a pre, if we don't say the bracha of Borei Pri Adom. Says Rashi. Sorry, we already saw the Rashi. Let's see Rashi again. Kairei Rach Shel Dekel. It is the soft branch of the palm tree. When its branches grow every year, the way of trees, whatever gets added in this year, rach is initially soft, and on the second year it becomes hard, and it becomes like a piece of wood. Okay, so we have a machlekes. Basically, the machlekes is, do you look at the current situation of the kairei, or do you look at what it's going to be in the future? Rav Yehuda says you look at the current situation, and it's a pre. Shmuel says you look at the future, and it's not going to be a pre, and therefore we don't even make a bracha now, bore pre hoga. Says the Gemara, Omar le Shmuel le Rav Yehuda. Shmuel turned round to Rav Yehuda. Remember, he's having a machlekes with Rav Yehuda, and yet, what did he say? He says, actually, I think you're right. To be perfectly honest, he said, Shinana. What does Shinana mean?
Sure.
Sharp one. Kevosteich, like you, Mistabra. It's actually quite logical. In other words, even though I maintain that you make a bracha of Shahakoil, why? Because I look now at the future, but I must be honest that actually the logic dictates that you are right. Why? The hotznoin, what's a tznoin? Radish. Stoifoi lahakshois. A radish, if you don't pluck it off, also becomes hard, as Rashi will explain, as we'll see in a second. And yet, Umavarchin on Allah, Bari Pri Adam. So what do you see? That you look at the present or the future? Present. Because even though it's going to become hard and will therefore be no longer considered a pre, doesn't matter. At the moment it's a pre and you say Bari Pri Adam. So the Chayra, we have every right to assume that we can compare a Tznoin to a Kairi. Says Rashi. Tznoin is Seifoy Lahakshis. She'im Einoi Toil Shoi Be'itoi. Because if you don't pluck it in its time, Humiskasha Ke'eitz. It becomes hard like a tree. So again, it seems to display very similar properties to the koire. It starts off soft, it ends up hard, and yet it says quite clearly that the halacha is, you say bracha bray pri adam. In other words, I'm not looking at the future, I'm looking at the current status. Therefore, the koire, the same is true with the koire as well.
It turns hard. Why should you make it a bracha at all? It probably wouldn't be edible.
Oh, so apparently it's edible. You're right. Apparently it is edible. If it's not edible at all, you're quite right, then it wouldn't be a bracha at all. Says the Gemara, V'loi hi. What does it mean, V'loi hi?
It's not so. It's not comparable.
It's not true. It's not right. His proof is very nice and very gallant that he turned around to Rabbi Yehuda and said, you're right. But he needn't have said that, because his comparison to a radish just doesn't really hold true. Why not? Valahi, it's not true.
Who's speaking?
The Gemara. Okay. The Gemara is commenting on Shmuel's admission to Rabbi Yehuda that you're right.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yehuda was Shmuel's student?
I'm not sure. They were both Amoraim. We mustn't make a mistake, by the way. There's Reb Yehuda, who's a Tana. This is Rav Yehuda the Amoraim. We really should just press pause for a moment. It's something I think we mentioned in the past, but it's so important. One of the greatest barriers, obstacles to succeeding in learning is what's called Ahavas Hanitzochin, the love of victory. Which is not dafka true in Torah only, it's true in all areas of life. You have a discussion or an argument with your friend. Now, why are you having this debate? There could be one of two reasons. Either because you want to win the argument, number one, or number two, because you want to get to the truth. The very extremely simple acid test to know which one is it, is are you prepared to admit that your friend is right? If the whole aim of the game is I'm right at all costs, then however logical and plausible your friend's argument is, you're never going to admit, because then I've lost the argument. I can't lose, the whole point was to win. It's like, excuse the marshal, having a sports match. Why would one side concede to the other side, let them win? The whole point was to win, that was the aim of the game. The whole reason why they had a tennis match was to win the game, that's the purpose. So then to concede and let the other side win makes no sense whatsoever, that defeats the purpose. But if the purpose was not to win, the purpose was just to get to the MS, then who in the world cares which one was right? As long as at the end of the day we got to the MS. I got there, you got there, we're students. To the contrary. Not only should you be prepared to admit to your friend that he's right, you should actually thank him. Why should you thank him? Because had he not pointed it out, I would have remained with my understanding, which is a misunderstanding. So Baruch Hashem, thank you for pointing it out. I thought Pshat was ABC. You said no, it's DEF, and we argued out. And I said no, actually you're right. Baruch Hashem, wow, shker, thank you for pointing out. But for my eyes, I would have ended up with not the Emes. So when you see a Gemara like this, Ahavas Nitzochim. Nitzochim means victory. Ahavas Nitzochim means the love of victory. And as I mentioned, that's one of the greatest obstacles to fulfillment in learning and getting to the MS. If the aim of the game is you have a chavrusa and you have a difference of opinion, which is obviously inevitable, which is the whole reason why you learn a chavrusa. But if the aim of the game is ahavas nitzochayin, just the love of victory, then at all costs, I have to be right. MS, sheker, totally irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. But if the aim of the game is, no, to get to the MS of Torah, then it makes no difference. Why does it make no difference? Because as long as we get to the MS, that was the whole project. The project was never to win the argument, trying to get to the MS. And that, this is the classic example in his Gemara over here. We have a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, and Shmuel turns round to Rabbi Yehuda to say what?
You're right.
Yeah, I'm saying right. What? Why are you telling me that? Even if you think it, why are you telling me that? The answer is, because the aim of the game is, we're trying to get to the MS. It should really be, and this is, by the way, a very, very good acid test. How do you know if you're learning with the right chavrusa? Ever chavrusa, how do you know whether the chavrusa is compatible? The answer is, and by the way, this is true not just for a chavrusa, I guess it's for a friend and for a spouse, anybody you have a relationship with. How do you measure, how do you know whether the relationship is a healthy one or not? The answer is, how prepared are you to say the words, I'm wrong, you're right? If you can say that without any qualms, then it's a healthy relationship. It means you're in it together. Whether it's a husband or wife, a chavrusa, a friend, whatever it is, a partner in business. We're just trying to produce the best possible results. If I'm wrong and you're right, well, thank you very much for helping me. But if deep down it's hard for you to say those words, I was wrong, you're right, then that normally is an indication that there's something wrong with this relationship. Something wrong with this relationship. Because if the relationship is all about trying to help each other reach the MS, why would you have any problem in saying, oh, you're right, Baruch Hashem, that's the MS? So it's indicative that deep down there's something that says me, no, the aim of the game is I should be right. It's very, very hard, or maybe even impossible for me to say, I was wrong, you were right. Our dear friend Michael Goffman, I was once in his car. You know Michael Goffman? You must know Michael Goffman. Come on. You must be the only person in Beit Shemesh who doesn't know Michael Goffman. Russian. Member of the
Bureau?
Yeah. Okay, you know him. He's got a Russian sense of humor. So I was once in his car with him and his wife, and they were driving to a wedding. They were driving to a wedding together. We got to a certain path, and Mrs. Goffman was sitting in the back of the car, said to her husband, Michael, you have to turn right to me. And he said, no, we go straight on. Michael, you have to turn right, I know the way. No, I know the way, it's straight. Third time, Michael, we have to turn right, we're going to miss the turning. No, we're going straight on. Fine, we're going straight on. We're going straight on, we got completely lost. We realized that she was right after all. So, you're right, Anna, and then turn around and turn right. She turns around to me and says, you know, very important you have arguments like this. It's very important to argue with your wife, he says, but at the end you can turn around to her and say, you know what, I was wrong and you were right. It's a very, very healthy thing, and as I said before, it's normally an unhealthy sign if you're unable to do so. But here you have a classic example. You have a machlokes, Volts machlokes, you review that on Shmuel. I want a Shmuel turn around to you and says, actually, I think I have a proof to you. When you, why are you trying to help out the other side? The answer is, there's no other side. We're on the same side. We're trying to find the emes. Either way, says the Gemara, v'loi hi, it's not true. Why is it not true? The comparison between koire and tznoin does not hold true. Why not? Tznoin, noti inshi. What does noti mean? Plant, like nota b'seichenu. A tznoin, a radish, noti inshi. What does inshi mean?
Person.
People plant, again, noti with a yud at the end. It doesn't say nota. When we said Birkas HaTorah this morning, we said nota b'secheinu, because Hashem, singular. Here we're going on people, plural, noti. Noti inshi, people planted adaita de pugla. What does adaita de pugla mean? What is the pugla, says Rashi? Adaita de pugla, le'ochloi kashuhurach. They plant it with a view to eat it when it's soft. Ushmoy pugla, it's called a pugla. In other words, a radish initially starts off soft and then gets hard. When you initially planted it, What was the aim of the game? What was the das? To eat it at which stage? When it's off, the pugla stage. So if that's the case, that's why I'm not looking at the future. Because the future is not the aim of the game. That's not where I'm trying to get to. When the radish goes hard, I've defeated the whole purpose of planting the radish in the first place. So that's why the radish should stay very free hadom. But dikla, when it comes to the dekel, which is the palm tree, loy noti enshi. People do not plant it adaite de kore. When you plant a palm tree, now it's true, it is edible at the kore stage. But why did you plant the tree? That the branches should get hard and then you produce. I don't know, we saw in Sukkah that when you can use a lulav branch to make a broom to sweep the floor. When it's very, very soft, you can't. So the aim of the game there was which stage? Stage 1 or stage 2?
Stage 2!
That's why I look at the future. So how can you tell me that what? That Shmuel turned round and said, you've got to look at the present, not at the future, just like a radish. No, a radish is very different to a palm. A tznoin and a koire is two different worlds. A tznoin, the reason why I look at the present is because the present was the whole purpose of its planting. Whereas the koire stage of the lulav, that was not the purpose of the planting. It might well be that people eat it, but that was not why you planted it in the first place. Why did you plant it? In order that it should get to its status of being hard. So it could well be then that you'd have to make which bracha in that case of lulav? Shehakol. So therefore, at this stage of the Gemara, what's the Gemara saying? That Shmuel did not need to admit to Rav Yehuda. What did Shmuel say? Which bracha? Shehakol. Yeah, he's right. At least he could be right. He very gallantly turned round to Rav Yehuda and said, no, you're right after all, because I see from radish you look at the present, not at the future. So the Gemara, no, that's different. A radish, of course you look at the present, because this was the whole purpose of its planting. So this is the tachanas sofit, this is the final stop. Whereas in the case of the lulav, you're in a process. Of course, you've got to look at the future.
What can you say during the radish, in the radish case, that you're really like kavana more than the present or the future?
You what? You?
Looking at kavana.
What do you mean, kavana of what?
When you're playing.
That's what it was. A das.
Not looking forward of where it's going to be, saying my das at this point.
Right.
Not, but
when you plant,
they're bringing the future in. What?
When I planted this radish, I initially put the seed in the ground. What was the purpose?
For a soft
radish. But when I get to the soft radish, that's the end of the line. It happens to be it's going to evolve further, unfortunately, and I'll no longer be able to be mekayim what I planted this radish for.
Kavana, the radish.
It's all toilong kavana, das. With the lulav, what was the das then? When I planted the lulav tree, what was the das? That it should get hard. I wanted it to become hard. It didn't, unfortunately, b'di'eved become hard. That was the whole aim of the game. Which means that when you're at the soft stage, it makes very good sense to look at the future. Why? Because this is just a preparatory stage for the future.
Where does it say that that was the kavana to plant it? And that's what happens eventually.
No, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, when it comes to dekel, dikla, loy noti enshi adai to the kore. You did not have das for the kore. Rather, what then? When it became hard.
What could you say? The man's intention was to plant this so that he could eat it. It is a food, as opposed to the curry. He never planted that tree for the purpose of eating.
I'm not sure. This is what Rabbi Brom asked before. It certainly has to be that even when it gets hard, it is edible. Because otherwise you wouldn't make a bracha at all. If it's literally a piece of wood, like a branch, you wouldn't make any bracha. So certainly it was for food purposes as well. But which version of the food? Soft or hard? Hard! The das was not for the koire, even though of course it's an inevitable stage. You can't go to stage 2 without bypassing stage 1. That was never the aim of the game. The aim of the game was to get to stage 2. Therefore it makes sense to look at stage 2. So at this stage of the game, what are we now establishing? we're establishing a principle. And if you have a food that goes through two stages, and you want to know at stage one, should you be looking at stage two? It seems to be the way the Gemara presents it, that it all depends on whether stage one was an intermediary to get to stage two, or to the contrary, stage one was the aim of the game. That's what it all depends on. Says the Gemara, let's examine, let's see whether that's true. Says the Gemara, Bakal Heicha, and wherever Deloy Nosi Inshi Adaita Da'achi, whenever a person didn't plant the plantation with this particular thing in mind, Loy Mevarachin on Oleo, you wouldn't make a bracha on it. You're telling me that when you plant the tree, the aim of the game is not when it's soft. Therefore, don't make a boy a pre Adama, because I don't view it as a pre, even though at the moment it jolly well is a pre. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Vaharei Tzlaf. What's Tzlaf? Rashi says, min eight. It's a certain type of tree. Denoti Inshi, where people plant the Tzlaf tree, Adaita the Paracha. What's Adaita the Paracha? Says Rashi, shame, period. It's the name of the fruit. When you plant your Tzlaf tree, what's the das? What's the purpose? The pre. And yet, the Tznan, and we have a Mishnah that says, Almine Nitzpe, Rashi says, that is Tzlaf, Al Ha'alin, Va'al Ha'tmorois, Oimer, Boire, Pri, Ho'adomo. So what's again, what's the stage one and what's the stage two? The stage one is Tzlaf, or Nitzpe. And what's stage two? Paracha, the Pri. So according to the principle we just suggested, if the aim of the game was to get to stage two, to get to the pre, then when you're at stage one, I've got to look at the future. And if I've got to look at the future, then what? Which bracha should I be making?
I don't know. Yeah.
I should be making now the brocha that I'm going to be making when it becomes parcha. Not boire pri or adoma. Parcha, if it's a fruit, I guess it's boire pri or eight. So why are you telling me that what? But you all have to, you've got to look at what the original intention was, and if the intention was for the future, you always look at the future. And that's why you're suggesting when it comes to a lulav, I look at the future, which is the hard status, not the soft status, the beginning. Slaf, I see not that way. Slaf, the whole purpose of its plantation was in order to get to the fruit stage two. So at stage one, I haven't reached the end of the line. The slap or the nitzbet, that's not the end of the line. So why am I saying Baruch Priyadol? Va'al Ho'ev Yoinois, continues the Braisa. Va'al HaKafrisin, it says, Oimer Baruch Priyadol. The Evyoinus says, look at Rashi. Rashi says, slap, min eight, type of tree. Adai to the Paracha, Shein Pirio, that's the name of its fruit. Mini Nitzpe Hutzlaf, that is the Tzlaf, in other words, stage one. Lefi Shegedelim Voy Kamo Mini Achila, because this Tzlaf tree apparently grows many different types of edibles, therefore Korile Mini, that's why it's called Mini. It doesn't say Al Nitzpe, it says Al Mine Nitzpe. Mine means on various species. Tomorrow's we normally translate as dates. Betoich ho'alim, amongst the leaves, gedalim kemin tomorrow's, says Rashi. Amongst the branches, amongst the leaves, there grow on this slough tree a type of date. Boiltin ba'ole. What is boiltin? It protrudes in its leaf. K'moy ba'alim shel arova. Just like the alin of the willow, it's a long, thin leaf. as opposed, for example, to the hadas, which is just a small one. That's what the leaves look like in a tzlaf tree, and you'll find there amongst the leaves the tamarim. Which bracha do you make on these tamarim? Boy pri ha'adam. Ev yoinois hu ha'pri. That is the pri that will eventually grow from this tzlaf tree, and we say mi'boy pri ha'ad. And what's kafrisin? Hu klipo gedoilo. That is the large peel, which is around the pre, and klipo agadela soviv egoizim dakim. Similar to the pre that grows around soft nuts. So clearly it's edible, otherwise you wouldn't be making a bracha on it. So again, what is the question? I have a tzlaf tree. When you plant the tzlaf tree, what is the aim of the game? The Gemara at the moment is assuming stage one or stage two? Stage two. And when you get to stage two, I'll make a bracha of Bore Prio 8. And yet when I get to stage one, I haven't yet arrived at stage two. What's halacha? I say Bore Prio Adobos. What do I see? Do you always look at the present? Because I'm saying Bore Prio Adobos. Even though, if I were to look in the future, seeing as that was the aim of the game, L'chayash making a different bracha. So why is the Gemara saying with regard to the lulav tree that what? Because the aim of the game is to get to the stage two when it gets hard. Therefore, I've now got to look at the future. I see with regard to the tzlaf, that's not true. I'm not sorry, I just trying to use the bathroom door. That, sorry.
Can I? Sorry. Try and argue with you. What? Why is making the distinction between present and future? Don't these things appear at the same time?
That's what I was thinking.
No. Every.
That's what the mission is telling us.
No, it evolves into something else. A tzlaf initially becomes tzlaf, and then it evolves into a vyoinos, into fully fledged fruit. So at the stage one junction, if you were to look at the future, seeing as that is the whole aim of the project, I should look now at the future. And yet the Bryce doesn't say that. The Mishnah says quite clearly, so you're very pre-adol. Says the Gemara, no, it's different. Omar of Nachman by Yitzchok. Slav, noti, inshi, adaita, deshusto. When you plant your tzlaf tree, then what did you have in mind? Adaita de shusta. What does it mean, adaita de shusta?
Everything.
Slaf noti enshi adaita de shusta, says Rashi, lechoil eso alim ve'esa tmorois. You did have intention to eat these dates and the leaves. She'enon mema'atin esto'ilon b'kach. Maybe you're right. It's not that one evolves and becomes another. It's two separate things. But what was the aim of the tree? The reason why I planted the tree, the Gemara initially thought, was to get the avyoinos fruit. The Gemara is saying it's not true. There's two aims of the game. When you pluck the leaves, that doesn't in any way diminish from the tree. In other words, undoubtedly, if you ask this fellow, Tommy, why did you plant this tree in the first place? The main aim of the game was to get to the fruit. But because you knew full well that along the way, what were you going to get? Leaves? And tomorrow's? And by plucking those and eating them, that doesn't in any way diminish from the rest of the tree, therefore I have absolutely no problem and I'm more than happy to pick them at this early stage, even before the fruit has arrived, or after the fruit has arrived, even though the aim of the game, the main project was the fruit, but there's two projects over here.
Don't we have two opinions going on?
Let's just finish one more line. Let's just finish one more line. However, Dikla loy noti inshi adaita de kaire. When it comes to the dikla tree, the kaire is not what you wanted to pick. Why not? Says Rashi. Dikla loy noti inshi adaita lechoil es ha kaire. You wouldn't want to eat the kaire, says Rashi. Why not? Shehaoichloi, because whoever eats it, Mamait, Anfeho Ilon, will diminish, will reduce the branches of the tree. So what's the distinction that the Gemara is making? The Gemara is making a simple distinction. When you plant your palm tree, it's going to produce branches. Now, those branches go through two stages. They're initially soft, we call those the koirei, and then they get hard and they become the kosher ke'etz. What was the aim of the game? They should get kosher ke'etz. Which means if you ever pluck it at the koirei stage, and you're really defeating the whole purpose of planting this tree in the first place, and that's why nobody has that in mind. Even if it happens to be you plucked off the koirei early, but you should know that's not the normal intention. Why is it not the normal intention? Because if you pluck off the koirei, you're never going to get the hard branches, because you plucked it off before it had a chance to get hard. So if that was never the das, what was the das? The das was just the branches at the end. If we're going to look at the future, and that's why, Lechoira Shmuel would be right. We're going to look at the future. Whereas in the case of the tzlaf, it's true. If you ask the farmer why did he plant this tzlaf tree, he'll tell you to get the main fruits at the end of the day. But I have no problem in plucking off the leaves in the tamaris. Why do I have no problem? It doesn't affect the tree. And therefore, if you ask this fellow, what did you have in mind, he'll actually tell you, not only the fruit at the end of the day, but also the leaves and the tamaris as well. The overall aim was the fruit, so what? I fully had intention for the leaves and the tamaris as well, and therefore the mekabroch on those, where we are going. Yes, Ramesh Zedek, sorry. We sum up many, many stages. We had, and soon we'll see halacha lemaisa, we had Rav Yehuda, who said that the koirei of this palm tree, what's the bracha of the koirei?
Adama.
Boirei pri ho'adama. In other words, I don't look at the future, I look at the present. Shmuel says, you look at the future, it's going to get hard, and when it gets hard, it's no longer a pri shahar. That's the machlokes. The Gemara initially said that the Chayyur of Yehuda is right. In fact, it was Shmuel himself. Shmuel himself wanted to suggest that Yehuda is right. Why? In other words, Yehuda is right in as much that what? What does Yehuda hold?
It's
for Adama. In other words, you look at the present. So Shmuel said, I think you're right. Because you look in the case of radish, radish also starts off soft, ends up hard, and you look at the present. So the koirei also the present. So there's more, no proof. The reason why in radish you look at the present is because that was the whole aim of the game. You didn't want it to get hard. You planted it in order to eat it when it was soft. Of course you look at the present. Whereas in the tree, I planted in order to get hard. So that's why Shmuel Lachaira is right. They should say Shahakoyim. So it's very nice and honest of Shmuel to say that I should look at the present and agree to review his opinion based on radish, but actually it's not a comparison to radish, and therefore, even though radish, you look at the present, that's because the present is the aim of the game. But in the case of the Torah, it's not the aim of the game, and therefore we should be looking at the future.
People
call
it the right riot, just for the wrong reason. Riot was done. Meaning you're saying you have dhamma on it, not a riot for the bracha, but the riot is down. Meaning you learn out from the radish, you make a dhamma.
Yeah. So that's what the moral suggestion. The radish, it's all about das. So what's my das when I plant a radish? For stage one. So don't look at the future. What's my aim? What's my das for a lulav? Stage two. If I look at the future, so at this stage of the game, Shmuel is right, and he had no need to reverse his position and admit to Rav Yehuda. Okay. Says the Gemara, 1 second. If Shmuel is really right, that where the aim of the game is the final stage, then I've got to look at the future. So why did Slav, why not do that? Slap, also the aim of the game is to get the fruit, and yet the alien and the tomorrows, which are at the earlier stage, I don't look at the future, I look at the present.
No, no, that's different, because over there I'm looking at the present as well.
Why am I looking at the present as well? Because it doesn't affect the tree in any way. I can quite happily shed the tree of its leaves, but it won't affect the fruit. So therefore, even though it might be the overall project aim was to get to the fruit, but the alin is also a very valid function of this tree, and I had doubts for that as well, if I've got no need to look at the future. Whereas the case of lulav, I've got nothing to do with koiri. The only aim of the game was to get to the harder stage, and people don't normally pluck them off when it gets to koiri. Why not? Because if you do that, you ruin the whole tree. So it sounds like at this stage the Gemara is really out to support Shmuel. And therefore, essentially, in the case of lulav, koiri, what bracha should I be making? Says the Gemara in conclusion that no. Va'af al gav de kol se Shmuel l'Rav Yehuda. And even though Shmuel praised, what does kol se mean? He praised. Even though he praised Rav Yehuda, in other words, he reverted to his position and said, you are right, but hilchasa kvasei b'Shmuel. Halacha is actually. So Shmuel himself conceded to Rav Yehuda and said that what? You're right. And yet the Gemara says, no. Shmuel was right. As we've seen in the whole stages of the Gemara, that the Gemara was really out to support Shmuel's taina. So he has no reason to reverse his position. If the aim of the game, if your whole das when you planted the lulav was to get to the eighth kosher and not the koire rach, then I don't look at the future, but rather I look at the future, which is exactly what Shmuel holds, and therefore Alocha Lemaizda, if you have these koire, you make a bracha of Shahakra.
When we look at the catered future and the grand day, because the primary purpose is to get the day, and not the other shoots which are making very good. So it's downgraded.
It's not a downgrade. It never was Bari Pirates in the first place. It'll only when it becomes a fully fledged fruit, then it will be Bari Pirates. But the leaves and the tamaris, those are Bari Pirates.
I like how it's
now have a look at it.
Like if you have a great vineyard.
Oh. On what?
On the grapes.
If you eat the branches, you're saying?
Yeah. On the grapes. In the vineyard, because the Quran of those is for wine.
Oh, you're saying very free.
Often. What do you say on the grapes?
It's very bright.
So it's not the same case here. The Quran is for very free.
How do you know?
It's a vineyard. That's where they're planting these.
Maybe the branches have grapes. Not this wine.
No, but there are fields that are planted.
If they were planted specifically for wine and not for grapes, so according to our Gemara, in theory, should be Bari Pri Agafen on wine, on grapes. Sounds bechidish. It could be it's not the same as our Gemara. It could be that all Shmuel meant. Okay, let's see Tosas now. We'll see. Maybe it'll be based on Tosas. Look at the last Tosas. Loi noti inshi adaiti bekoire. The Stobar Gemara, and the Gemara eventually holds kavosei de Shmuel. Like Shmuel, we pass the loch of Shmuel. Therefore, this is not considered a pre because it's destined to become hard. The imkain. Oi son lulavei gefanim those. Lulav plantations, deloy, noti, inshi, adaita, dachi, which were not planted with the koire in mind. So what bracha would you make? Mevarchin on alayu, shakol mi abidvaroi. Like Shmuel says, but the oisom, shkeidin, kishahin rachim, oichlim klipos and achitzayna. These almonds, when they are soft, you eat their peel, outside peel. Veloy noti lehu adai tudochi. But they were not planted with this in mind, lemeichel lehu, to eat them kishein rachim. When you have your almond tree, they start off very soft. Kiim lechol hagarinim shelohen kishiyisbashlu. But rather, the aim was not to eat them when they are soft, but rather when they ripen. Therefore, mavarech aleinu mishakel. Therefore, us mishakel. In other words, says Tosfos, because in the final analysis we passed like Shmuel, I see that I've always got to work out, as you said, what the das was. But even though at the moment it has the properties of a fruit, but if it's destined to become, and the das was for it to become a non-fruit, so I consider already now a non-fruit. And for these almonds, or these beloved gefanim, even though if you take a photograph of them at the moment, they seem to portray all the properties of a fruit, because the das was to get to the next stage when it should not be a fruit, it has already lost the status of fruit now, and you therefore say shalom. Okay, we're going to stop over here, as I mentioned, and then on Thursday, Beis Hashem, we'll do Chazara, and we'll see how we go. Probably it'll take us the whole session. Yeah.